Fred Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 71st Venice International Film Festival, in particular Venice Days, the 11th edition. And today I'm in company of a well-known director for Fred, Sean Christensen, with this film Before I Disappear. So welcome, Sean. Thank you for being with us again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
So we were now talking, like, before starting the interview about Curfew and the interview that you did with us in 2012 in Tribeca. And in this interview, you described Curfew and the character, your character Richie, as you said, Richie is a lost soul who has decided to check out from life when his sister calls and asks him to take care of his nephew for a while, for a night. And so I was wondering, now that you turned Curfew in a feature length, let's say that, and you expanded and it sort of became another film, what would you add to this description?
Well, I don't think this description changes much. I think he's still rather pathetic, he's still a lost soul, and, you know, I guess you could say he's looking for someone to find him, and, you know, but all he has is his sister yelling at him to go babysit his niece. I think the premise is the same. When I was writing a feature version of the short film, I had a lot of other ideas and other characters and other zany ways to go that wouldn't make any sense. I had a whole backstory of him and his love of his life named Vista. I had a whole backstory with them where they were these, you know, I don't know, corner store robbers, you know, it was like a Coen Brothers romp. It was ridiculous. And then for the feature, I just went back to the heart and essence of the short film. It's the same story, just sort of expanded and elaborated upon, and gave me a platform, because it's such an absurd setup. You know, it's such an absurd, ridiculous notion that a guy in a bathtub killing himself is going to be get out of that tub and go take care of his niece for the night. Once you have that absurdity, you can kind of, in a weird way, it's a shame to not capitalize on more absurdity, more things. Maybe there are Grim Reapers following him around. Maybe there are, you know, parties going on, or people saying they owe him money, but you don't know if they're real or not. And there's maybe Vista, his love of his life, is haunting him. Maybe there's the bowling alley scene, which is in the short film, and it works just as well, I think, in the feature. But I wanted to elaborate on those sort of surreal moments. I think it's an absurd, surreal premise, and it ought to sort of continue throughout.
Yeah, because in the short, I found that there were, like, black comedy inspirations, but then you decided that you really wanted those things to be part of the movie. You added all those elements there. You could only imagine in the short, but they were there.
Yes, yeah, absolutely. The all those surreal things give. Also, they sort of selfishly open the door for cinematic things for me to try cinematically.
But you, for example, you decided to have Fatima Tachik to play the girl, to play Sophie, even if she had grown up a little bit. So now you had to adapt the script to a bigger child, almost a teenager.
Yeah, I told her not to grow, and I told her father not to feed her anymore for a couple of years while I get a script together. And he stopped feeding her for a couple of years, and then he called me up. He said, "Look, you know, when are you going to finish this script? You know, I gotta feed her." And I said, "I'm getting to it, you know." And of course, I realized that I needed to change the dialogue and change the dynamic between them. I think the difference is, in the short film, she's oblivious to anything that's going on with him. I mean, completely oblivious, totally. She's 9 years old, doesn't have a clue. You don't want her to know. In the feature, she's not oblivious. She knows what's going on around here. And that, oddly enough, and I was scared at first because I didn't know if that dynamic would be as interesting, but oddly enough, it opened the door for me to give her scenes and things to do that I wasn't able to do in the short film. Particularly, kind of, I don't want to say saving his life, but he has a one point where he's kind of collapsed in the street, and she's able to kind of get him a temporary fix to kind of keep him up and around. And of course, that leads to him getting a lot of energy to go handle her jerk father. But anyways, all of these doors open when she's no longer the oblivious child. When she's still a child, she's still full of life, she's still precocious, she's maybe even brattier now. But in a weird way, that makes her arc becomes more fascinating, because in the end, you love her because she's lonely as well, and the whole key of that movie is both of their arcs, both of them changing as people, and so I think her growing up helped me write different scenes.
Yeah, I'm actually wanted to tell you that I was glad about this choice of having her, because that scene was one of my favorites, because that's this kind of adult interaction between them. She's so aware of, I don't know, how her father has been, that she like kind of accepting some things of her life, that it's something that an adult does. So I loved it.
But first, one last thing on a technical level. It was never an option for me to use anyone else, even though she was growing. Because first of all, when you had met us and we were in the short film circuit, this is long before any Oscars or anything. She was winning awards in these festivals, like Best Actress Awards, Best Young Actress, Best Supporting, whatever. She was winning all these awards. She was really getting huge accolades from the short film. If I was to go and do the feature and replace her with, who am I going to replace her with? You know, I would have to replace her with another unknown, because there's not a lot of kids in that age range, you know, out there. And truth be told, not a lot of them can act very well. They're too new in life to really pull it off. And it would be silly for me to even think about having someone else. So she was always there. The question was, would I do it or not? But she was always going to be it. And so as she was aging, I had to roll with those punches or not make the movie. You know, I couldn't make the movie today because she's 13 now, you know.
Thank God you did it at the right time.
I did it 1 minute before it wouldn't have worked. Yeah.
Talking about curfew, I know that you said that you were already like working on feature length when the whole Oscar thing started to happen. I bet you have been asked this question like a million times before, but have you ever thought about changing completely, not right now, like, because it is very risky sometimes to take a short film. You could work and you could either like not work because you have a lot of pressure. So,
well, first of all, I can't look at it like, oh, this is based on a film that won an Oscar and think of it like, oh, I have to top that, or that's ridiculous. I have to make the best movie possible, the best movie I can make. Furthermore, I was getting financing because I had a feature of the short film. It's not like I do the short film and it gets a lot of accolades, and then if I had another film that I would have gotten financing for it, you know, I there was no money on the table for anything else. You know, there was money on the table for this. I did have a 75% completed script, and Damon and I kind of looked at each other and we said, screw it, let's give it a shot. And also, it was a small enough thing where I could have control. I could put the music in I want. I could have a little bit of creative license with it, because if I didn't have creative license, there are scenes when people hear this who haven't seen it. There are scenes in the movie, when you do see it, you'll know, that probably would not be acceptable for financiers. Certain financiers wouldn't allow me to do some things that I'm doing in that. I think some of my favorite scenes in the film probably would have been cut by, you know, if I worked for, say, a studio or anything like that. Yeah.
So I wanted to say good luck, because you're about to have your official screening.
Yes, hopefully. Yes. Thank you for having me.
And we hope to bring you good luck, like we did for in Tribeca.
Yes. So give me the same exact luck that you gave me last time.
Positive vibes too.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you to Sean Christensen, director of Before I Disappear, here in Venice Days Competition. And this is Chiara Nicoletti from Venice International Film Festival for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio.
24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.